23-year-old William Byron from Charlotte, North Carolina, came up through Legends Cars. The East Series, the Truck Series, Xfinity, checkered flag. William Byron wins in Homestead, gets his second career win in his 111th start, and his team owner, Rick Hendrick, gets his 264th career win, four wins away from tying Petty Enterprises for the most ever.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5. The game streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Hope you're having a great start to your Saturday. So far, Chase McCabe in the house, and there you heard it. William Byron, win number two in his very young career in that 24 car. And let me tell you, he is starting to remind me of the guy that used to drive that 24 car, meaning took a little while to get that win, but when it happened, they all happened. And I think this is just the beginning for William Byron. I said that about Christopher Bell. That seems to be the theme as of late in NASCAR in the Cup Series with this insurgence of the young guns as they are now finding their winning ways. So we're going to discuss that, but very, very excited. Coming up in about 15 minutes or less, the three-time Cup Series champion and the Hall of Famer, Franklin, Tennessee's own Darrell Waltrip, is going to join the show live. Looking forward to that. Talking to DW. Obviously, some big news surrounding our city and the sport of NASCAR with the deal with the fairgrounds, and it's looking like it's closer and closer to that being fixed up. But also, to talk about the Nashville Super Speedway and the Ally 400, and we'd like to announce this, that Nashville Super Speedway, they're going to be sponsoring this show for the next few weeks. So excited to have them on board. So Chasing Checkers presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, and we'll give you more information. If you have not gotten your tickets yet, we will pass that along here in just a little bit. But let's talk about last Sunday's event at the Homestead Miami Speedway. William Byron, he leads 102 laps for his second Cup Series win. And it was one of those deals with him where he's there and he's inching up closer, but it wasn't his show. Early on, it was Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher was doing some things, and he won stage one of the race and was still in the top 10 in stage two. So he led 57 laps on the day. And I'm thinking, okay, Roush Fenway, they've come to play. He's going to be, you know, one to beat, and certainly had a good run and until the end, ends up finishing 19th. But a strong performance for Roush Fenway Racing in that number 17 team. And then Martin Truex Jr. looked like he was going to break through and get into victory lane. All right, here we go, veteran. It's Homestead. Homestead's a tough place to get around. You run the wall. He ends up third, leading 37 laps. Kyle Larson, who's another one that I had said, hey, he's got a good chance, loves to run the wall. He finishes fourth. Kevin Harvick, another strong run for Michael McDowell, finishing sixth. Notice I left second out. Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick was the long shot pick on Sunday Money last week. And William Byron was a long shot, too. But Tyler Reddick was the one that I had identified as watch out, because that guy knows how to win at tracks like that. And I'll tell you, man, he had a heck of a race car. And that last pit stop, he comes flying through the field. And I know you've heard this a lot. You have a few more laps, he probably catches William Byron, but he didn't. We'll hear from him in just a second, but first, William Byron on his second career win.
Yeah, I mean, that guy has been huge for my career. He's the reason I'm here, and, you know, I'm glad we could get him. And he's just awesome, and this whole team did a phenomenal job. Everybody, pit crew, over the wall, extremely blessed. Thanks, God, for all the things that it takes to get to this level. Great boss and Mr. H, Jeff Gordon, Exalta. This car looks really cool. So I'm just – I can't even believe it, honestly. It was just a really smooth day, and – we worked hard in the winter on this track, and can't believe it.
William, you told me this race was going to be won under the lights on the bottom of the racetrack. How much emphasis did you put on staying off the wall for this race?
Yeah, I mean, you had to go the wall at certain times. 3 and 4 was really fast up there. Definitely didn't do it as good as Xfinity cars do it, but I used it when I had to, and this car was just awesome. It really is a lot of hard work. I think we went to the sim 4 or 5 times this offseason, and just pays off, man. It's awesome.
William Byron with Jamie Little of Fox Sports in victory lane, or right there at the start-finish line after he wins that race. And that is the skill that you have to have at Homestead Miami Speedway. Know when to run the wall, know when not to. And if you watch the race, you see him, you know, get around it, right up against it. And he was able to conquer that and win. But Tyler Reddick, as I mentioned, comes up through the field, ends up finishing second, gets around Martin Truex Jr., and a lot of praise for Tyler Reddick. But this is what I love, and this is when I know a guy is close to winning, when he's ticked off at second. Here's Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, Regan, it was, you know, second place is what we... It's a good night considering how the first two weekends have went, but I need to get this Cheddar Scratch Kitchen Chevy to victory lane, because if I would have gotten a lot of people in America free chicken tenders on Monday night. But, yeah, once I really saw how fast we were in clean air at the end there, and I saw how fast we were catching everybody, it's beyond frustrating. Just 2 or 3 different decisions on a restart would have put me miles ahead, and I would have been within reach. So, yeah, second's great, but I saw how much faster I was than those guys there at the end. So, naturally, it's frustrating.
I love that. It's frustrating to finish second knowing how fast the car was. And the car was fast. He did. He had a hot rod. And that, you just got to take and use that as motivation moving forward. Because we saw it some last year in his rookie year. He gets this. He knows what he's doing. He's won 2 Xfinity championships. And I know that it doesn't always translate going from the Xfinity series into the Cup series. But I feel like it's going to for him. And also, I believe that Richard Childress Racing, they're coming around. They're putting some good stuff out. You know, I've watched Austin Dillon the last couple of years, and you know he won last year at Texas, and they seem to be finding speed again. Tyler Reddick, another part of that. I mean, are they Hendrick level? No, but are they kind of where Hendrick was when they started to come back up? I think so, and I believe that organization is going to get a couple wins this year. I think Dillon will find victory lane. I think Reddick will find victory lane. They're showing that they have it, and I know Dillon finished 12th last week at Homestead. But they got some speed. And we saw in the Daytona 500, you know, where Dillon was as well. So I think look out for Richard Childress Racing. So the top 10 and notables for you: William Byron wins the race, Tyler Reddick second, Martin Truex Jr. third, Kyle Larson comes home fourth in the Hendrick number 5, Kevin Harvick comes home fifth, Michael McDowell with another strong run, as we said, another top 10. He's sixth. Ryan Newman, seventh. Kurt Busch, eighth. Alex Bowman, ninth. Kyle Busch rounding out the top 10. Denny Hamlin was just outside at 11th. Chase Elliott in 14th. Brad Keselowski in 16th. Chris Buescher, as I mentioned, had led a lot of laps in 19th. Bubba Wallace, 22nd. Joey Logano, 25th. And actually spoke to Joey Logano earlier this week on Darren Donick and Chase, and he was obviously frustrated with the 25th place finish and the run they had at Homestead, but as you'll hear a little later on from him, Las Vegas has been very good to Joey Logano, so I don't think he has much to worry about there. So what have we learned through 3 races? Well, we've learned that the youngsters and having different winners, that is the way that this is going so far, and it's probably... we're probably going to have another different winner this week. Of the 50 seasons in the modern era, which is 1972 to now, the NASCAR Cup Series has started the schedule with 3 different winners in the first 3 races 33 different times, including this year. If the series were to produce a 4th different winner this weekend, it would be the 23rd different season in the modern era to start with 4 different winners through the first 4 races. That coming from NASCAR media in their news and notes. I think that that's interesting, and 13 different NASCAR National Series Las Vegas Motor Speedway winners are entered this weekend into the race, and none of them have won yet this season. And we're going to talk about Vegas a little later on, but names like Logano, Keselowski, Harvick, Truex should pay attention to them because these are the type of tracks that they seem to excel at. But we will get into that a little later. When we come back, going to break a little bit early, we're going to talk to Darrell Waltrip, the three-time Cup Series champion and, of course, the NASCAR Hall of Famer. He's from Owensboro, Kentucky, but calls Franklin home. Has a lot of history out at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and some big news surrounding that racetrack. And also, we'll talk about the Nashville Super Speedway and what's happening there this June. We'll talk to DW when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway here on ESPN 1025 The Game, the Ally 400, coming up Father's Day weekend out at that track. And a guy that I know has been doing some voice work talking about the Nashville Super Speedway joins us now, the legendary Darrell Waltrip, the three-time Cup Series champion and the Hall of Famer. DW, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, doing great. Beautiful day here in Franklin, Tennessee, Nashville. Hey, let me ask you a question. How did you get the name? Where did Chase come from? Who decided you were going to be Chase?
My real name is Charles, and my dad is also Charles. He didn't want me to be Little Charlie or Charlie Jr., and so they came up with Chase as the nickname, and that's what I've always gone by.
Yeah, no, I like it. I didn't know if it was some racing-related something or if you just like that name, but that makes a lot of sense.
It's funny whenever I have Chase Briscoe or Chase Elliott on, it becomes the Chase and Chase show.
Yeah, my other brother. Yeah.
So obviously we'll start with the Super Speedway, because I saw on Twitter, because you know everything is on Twitter these days, were doing some work with them. And Eric Moses, the president, the job that they've done, and it's a process, but to get that place ready to go after 10 years of just sitting there, it's going to be pretty cool to see it all come together Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, it is. I went to a lot of races back, 10 years ago when they were racing there, and David Ruderman drove my truck. He won there. Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with the racetrack, and I'm excited for Eric. Eric is a great guy. I don't know that he was a racing guy when he took the job at the Speedway, but he's learning fast, and he's put together a good team. And I'm excited because, we've had every kind of racing at that track, trucks, Xfinity, Indy cars, but we've never had the Cup guys in town. And so I've talked to some of them. They're pretty excited about coming and racing on the concrete. And I think it's going to be a great event. And I'm really happy that I could help Eric, get it reopened and going again.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because I went to a ton of races out there as well, and a lot of the guys you're going to see in the Cup Series cut their teeth out there racing in the trucks in the Xfinity Series. So they're familiar with that place. To have it, for somebody that calls Franklin home and you have for a long time, to have NASCAR back in the Nashville market means what to you?
Well, it's been a long time. I mean, we haven't raced Cup cars in Nashville since '84, I think, at the fairgrounds. Yep. And so it's been a long time since the stars of the sport have, been in Nashville. They've been here for various races, truck races, Xfinity races, but first time we've had Cup cars here in many, many years. So that's a great accomplishment. I didn't know what was going to happen to that speedway. It's an incredibly great facility. I know a lot of people are not, maybe they're not even familiar with the track, but when you go on 840 around there, the entrance, all the ins and the outs, the parking, all those things are an absolute race fan's dreams. It's easy in, easy out, and the racing is darn good. It's a concrete racetrack, which is different, and the guys have to adjust a little bit to that. But when you put those Cup cars on that racetrack, I guarantee you, you'll go home. It has the wow factor to it. and you'll go home and you'll want them. You can't wait to go to the next race there. So I think Eric's sitting on a gold mine. I think he's just gotta promote it right, work hard and get the fans out there the first time. And I think they come and see a race there once, they'll want to come back.
You mentioned the Nashville Fairgrounds, and it has been since 1984, since the Cup Series was there. Saw yesterday Mayor John Cooper of Nashville has signed a letter of intent with Speedway Motorsports, Bristol Motor Speedway, Marcus Smith, Bruton Smith, those guys, to enter into an agreement that they're going to renovate that place, get it ready to go, get it up to standards for NASCAR, and hopefully NASCAR is going to be racing at the fairgrounds in addition to the Nashville Super Speedway. You're a track champion. You won there a lot. And like I said, being a Nashville guy, but the fairgrounds, as excited as everybody is about the Super Speedway, having the fairgrounds a part of it is going to make this even more special.
Well, that racetrack is near and dear to my heart. I love the fairgrounds. I'm excited that the mayor, one of the reasons that the mayor and I became friends was because he liked the fairgrounds and he was committed to doing something with the racetrack. He was not going to let them tear it up or get rid of it. And I was happy about that. Marcus Smith and Bruton and Jerry Caldwell, they have a vision for that racetrack. Fans clamor all the time. All they talk about is more short tracks, more road courses. Well, this year we've got more road courses, and I think eventually the schedule will have a place for the Nashville Fairgrounds to be on the schedule somewhere down the road. It's going to take a couple of years to renovate it. It hadn't anything done to it in a long, long time. Maybe never. I can't remember anything being done to the track since it was renovated to the way it is today. So, they got their work cut out for them. But I think when they get done with that, I don't know how the Super Speedway out in Lebanon, I don't know how that'll do, long term. But you remember, we would race at, Raceway Park, which is a little half mile racetrack outside of Indianapolis.
Yep.
When they had raced there on Friday night and then the guys would run the Cup race on Sunday. I could see a number of variations of something like that where we raced, Xfinity cars and trucks maybe there on a Friday or Saturday night and the Cup cars at the Super Speedway on Sunday or even vice versa. But there's this market. Look, we got Indy cars coming to town. And they're going to be running through the streets of downtown Nashville this year. That's exciting. And we've got Cup cars coming to town. That's exciting. We all know, I know, we all know, Nashville has become a destination. People are moving in here every day, and most of them from California, by the way. But a lot of people are moving into our area, and a lot of people that move here are race fans. And I think NASCAR, Mike Helton, the president of NASCAR, he loves the Nashville market. He always has. And so we just got a lot going for us, and we just got to capitalize on all that and get the fans excited and involved. And who knows? This could be Nashville may become the hub of racing one of these days.
It does feel that way. Darrell Waltrip here with us, the NASCAR Hall of Famer. In 1984, I believe Jeff Bodine won the last race out there, but they had two Cup races a year. And if I'm not mistaken, the May race, old DW and Junior Johnson and Associates won that race.
Yeah, I won. I can't remember. I think I won 10 or 12 Cup races out there. So the race that Bodine won, I think I ran second, and I hated that because I knew that was the last time we were going to race there. I would like to have been the guy that won that last race, but I wasn't. And look, when I grew up, when I was starting my career, PB Corral here in Franklin offered me a ride in the number 48 sportsman car at the time at the fairgrounds. And little did I know, I had a vision. I thought someday I might be a Cup driver, but I knew that was a stepping stone. I left Owensboro. I came here. I dominated the fairgrounds for a number of years, won a couple of championships, drove for PB Corral, drove for RC Alexander, Ellis Cook. That was just my claim to fame. And then my first Cup win was at the fairgrounds in 1975. So that track means a lot to me. It means a lot to Sterling Marlin, the Green Brothers, Dale Jr., or just so many of us that have a real fondness for that racetrack. and the future of it. So I think a lot of good things are going to happen as we go forward with the fairgrounds.
Well, and what's cool about it is, you know, the people you just named, you and Sterling and before his passing, Bobby Hamilton, you know, guys that are from here all loved that place and wanted to see that place reopen. But you also bring up Dale Jr., and Dale Jr. being the historian that he is with NASCAR, and, you know, I watched the Dale Jr. download, and he's explained that it's a way for him to learn more about his dad and learn more about the history. But he's always had a special place with Nashville, and for him to come in and be here when they signed that letter of intent was really cool with the work that he's done with all of you to try and get NASCAR back to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've all been working hard, you know, behind the scenes. Jerry Caldwell has met with the city council a number of times, a fair board a number of times, and so, you know, yesterday was like gold for us because it meant something was really going to happen. We've talked about it. We've had meetings. We kind of had plans, but yesterday it actually became a reality. So that's exciting. Yeah, Dale Jr. loves the fairgrounds just like a lot of us do. He's involved with the IndyCar race, going to be involved with the fairgrounds. The history of racing in Nashville, I don't know of another city in the whole country that can compete with Nashville when it comes to the drivers that track has produced, the history it has. It's an iconic speedway. And what's cool about that racetrack, when you think about, and I don't know how many short tracks you've been to around the country, but I've been to about all of them.
One of them, too.
Now, hardly any racetrack that I can recall has a tunnel that leads into the track. Hardly any racetrack that I ever went to had an electronic scoreboard like they've had at the fairgrounds for 100 years. Hardly any racetracks that still exist and are operational are in the middle of town like the fairgrounds is. So everything about that racetrack, everything about that facility is absolutely a promoter's dream come true because it's got everything you need and it's all right there, right in the middle of town. So I think we're going to see some great things happen with that speedway in the future. Look, SMI, they could move the All-Star race to the National Fairgrounds. So there's a lot of options. We had no options. Tony Formosa and his crowd, they did a great job of keeping the place open, but now we've got options. Now we've got cup options, and that's huge.
Darrell Waltrip here with us, and you won a lot at Bristol. I got to get your thoughts on this. They've put dirt on that place, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've watched racing for a long time. Don't know a lot about going into dirt, you know, how you prepare for a dirt race, but I'm excited about it, but I'm also scared for these guys because I know a lot of them don't have the dirt background. What are you thinking about this?
Well, I wouldn't have done that personally. I mean, I won on the asphalt when the Bristol was asphalt, and then they concreted. I'll never forget the first race they had on concrete. They said, well, that'll be the end of DW streak, and we won that very first race. So I won 12 times there. I'm the winningest driver at that racetrack. There's a grandstand there, and a third and fourth turn has my name on it. That track the fairgrounds is near and dear to me, but I love that track equally as much. And they put dirt on it once before, and it was semi-successful, I guess. But I think it's just a product of the times. People are fans. Not people, fans are constantly wanting something new, wanting something different. When we went to Eldora, Tony Stewart's track, with the trucks, huge success. But it wore off. And now we're going to go to Bristol, another iconic racetrack in our series and in our sport. And they put dirt on it. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are have some dirt experience, but not very many. I mean, it's kind of a must watch. You're going to have to watch, see it, kind of have your opinion about it, I think, after the event. I just can't imagine covering up that track with dirt and having a race. It just didn't make sense to me. But Jerry Caldwell and Pruton Smith and that whole crowd, Marcus, they're smart guys. They know what they're doing. And they've done a nice job with the track. They've had some testing going on there. So I'm sure it'll be a good event. Bristol always is, no matter what the surface is like. And then we'll have to decide if we like it or not.
So how have things been going with you since you left the booth? You're retired now, and it's good to have you on. It's been a while since we've gotten to talk to you, but what's life been like for you?
I was about 6 months behind on doing nothing, and I caught up on that in a hurry. So got that behind me, and some days, I guess because of COVID and everything that's gone on the last year or so, it was probably a good time for me to retire. They've been doing a lot of the races last year from the studio in Charlotte. I probably wouldn't have liked that. I got to be there. I got to feel it, smell it, touch it, hear it. And doing the races from a studio would have been pretty hard. So I guess the timing was pretty good on that, from that respect. But I miss it. I miss being at the track. I miss seeing my guys. There's a fraternity of us drivers, and you never – once you're in it, you're never out of it. So I do talk to a lot of the guys. Boyer and I are great friends. I've tried to help him some, match up with Jeff Gordon, and he's doing a nice job with doing there. So I'm still involved. I go to the Hall of Fame, help out over there. It's not quite the same as it was when I was working every weekend. So I miss it. I miss it a lot. I don't like necessarily being retired, but, I've gotten a lot of power washing done the last year or so. Got a beautiful, clean driveway, and I go over and clean my neighbor's driveway. I'm a busy guy. I go to the lake, got a great lake house up Center Hill. Spent a little time on the lake. Got two beautiful granddaughters, Louisa and Sadie Rader. And so I'm trying to grow into my new role as a grandfather and as a retired TV analyst. You know what's funny, Chase?
What's that?
A lot of people don't know I ever drove. It fascinates me, as people know me as Daryl Cartrip from the movie Cars, or they may know me as Daryl Waltrip, the analyst. But when you start talking about I won 84 races, really? Well, what series were you racing in? I mean, it's a lot of young people that have just started following the sport over the last few years. They don't know the history of the sport. And they don't know the heroes of the past. And so it's surprising to me how many people I run into that know me as a TV analyst but don't remember me as a driver.
And that's so amazing. And that's what, you know, where guys like Dale Jr. and others that are historians and myself, because, I mean, I saw you race at the end of your career. But I still know your career. I know what you accomplished because I have that passion for the sport. And I feel like as NASCAR grows and they bring in new fans, that's what they need to they have to do a little bit better job of get people to the Hall of Fame to learn more about, you know, the history of Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison and Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, all of you guys that paved the way and not just know the names but know what you actually accomplished.
Yeah, I think the Hall of Fame's in a tough spot. Winston does a great job of running that Hall of Fame. But look, there's a lot of people that I think should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't, but nobody knows who they are. And so you've got to kind of induct people in the Hall of Fame that the fans today know a little bit about and know about their history. When you start talking about guys in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even some in the 90s, a lot of people are not aware of those drivers, and so they don't put a real – they're not real significant in their mind. But in my mind, as a driver that drove with a lot of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, I just – sometimes I wish there were other – I wish there was some of the older guys and driver, crew chiefs and mechanics were in the Hall of Fame, but they gotta keep it current as much as possible. You can't have a bunch of guys that are not around anymore in the Hall of Fame when they had the big dinner and everything. So anyway, I understand their situation, but I miss my old friends. And by the way, you can't make old friends.
No, you can't. as we wrap this up, and I've really enjoyed the time today and appreciate you taking the time out of a Saturday morning. And I don't want to end on a sad note, but I it's been 20 years. It's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since we lost Dale. And growing up as a racing fan, I, at 3 years old, loved that black number 3 car because he won a lot, for one. But he, You know, he just didn't – he took no prisoners. And I've really enjoyed hearing the stories, not about 20 years ago, but about Dale and your guys and your rivalry and your friendship and how it all came to be. And I spent hours watching different video clips and the Dale Jr. download, the interview you did with him. And yep. You guys had a unique relationship, that's for sure. But it's one of the greatest – friendships and rivalries, I think, in the sport. And I know that he was near and dear to you in many ways.
Yeah, we were. I always like to say we were frenemies. We were friends sometime. We were enemies sometime. We were friends most of the time off the racetrack. But he was a competitor. And I didn't look at Dale any other way. He was a buddy of mine. We did a lot of things together. I actually drove for him. He took really good care of me when I drove the one car, the Pennzoil yep. car. And he gave my brother an opportunity that my brother would have never had if it hadn't been for Dale. So, he meant a lot to me, meant a lot to our family. And, I love Dale Jr. and Kelly. I've known them ever since they were born. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years ago. And I think it's one of the reasons it's so hard is because I don't think we've ever let Dale die. I think we've, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Don't take that the wrong way. I just mean that we talk about him every day. People ask me every day, well, what do you think Dale would think about that? Or what do you think Dale would say? Or what do you think Dale would do? I think DEI would have been as strong as Hendrick Motorsports or Penske or any of those front-running teams. Dale had a vision. He had the resources to make that happen. And he was just getting that rolling when things went bad, but he was an interesting dude. I always say it's timing. He was in the right place at the right time. He was the guy the sport needed. He was a blue collar guy. Everybody in the grandstand could relate to Dale, and he was tough. You know, you'll never see a picture of the three cars. You don't see it running into somebody. That's just the way he drove, and you know. After a while, it just became, well, you know, it's just Dale, and we just accepted that.
How did he and Michael get to be so close? Because that was really when you and him had the rivalry.
Well, I love my brother to death. He and I are really good friends and buddies, and we talk all the time. But you got to realize something. My brother moved to North Carolina, and who did he live with?
Dale Earnhardt.
No, the Petties.
Oh, the Petties. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was not a big Richard Petty fan. And so Kyle, Richard's son, and Michael became good buddies. And Michael lived with the Petties for a while. And I love this. I got to tell you this quick story. They're sitting on the couch, Michael, Kyle, and Richard, and they're watching a race. And Michael's telling the King and Kyle what's going on. And my brother says, Richard looked at him and said, "Hey, boy, where did you learn about racing anyway?" And my brother says, "I learned everything I know from racing from my brother." And he said, Richard looked at him and said, "You don't know much, do you?"
Wow.
So Dale and I are huge rivals on the racetrack. Not so much off, but on the racetrack.
Yeah.
And so who does my brother buddy up to?
Dale.
Yeah. So my brother kind of used reverse psychology. You know, you don't like my brother, but I think you'll like me. And I think it actually paid off for him because, you know, driving for DEI, that was a great opportunity for him. I never forget, my brother hadn't never won a race. And people say, why did he put him in that car? Why did he put Michael Waltrip in that car for? And I know Dale so well. I knew Dale would like to. He would love to have been standing in victory lane at Daytona that day with his arm around Dale Jr. and his arm around Michael and say, "I told you so." Because that was one thing about Dale. He loved to be able to say, "I told you so." And the last thing that Dale saw was that 15 and that 8 headed for the start-finish line, and one of them was going to win that race. That's the last thing he saw, and I'm sure that meant the world to him.
Yeah, there's not many things that, you know, as you get older, you remember. I will always remember you calling Michael to the win and then saying, "Is Dale okay? I hope Dale's okay. And, It's just hard to believe it's been 20 years. But, DW, yep. This has been a pleasure. Always appreciate you taking the time to come on, and can't wait to actually see you at the racetrack when it comes here in June, and of course, at the fairgrounds and the Grand Prix as well.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it. Should be exciting. We got a lot got a lot going on. Indy cars, Cup cars, fairgrounds. I mean, if you're a race fan, it doesn't get much better than what we got going on for a while here. So take advantage of it. I love it.
Absolutely. Thanks, DW.
All right, pal. See you, Chase.
Darrell Waltrip, Hall of Famer, 3-time Cup Series champion, joining us here on Chasing Checkers. And we got a lot to unpack there. We'll talk a little bit more about racing at the fairgrounds and everything, and what that means. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate them jumping on board. NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com is where you can get your tickets to the Ally 400 weekend. Father's Day weekend, June 18th, 19th, and 20th, just 106 days away from the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway. Also appreciate Darrell Waltrip, the Hall of Famer, for joining us. So much fun. And if you miss any of today's show, any of our shows, just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Google or Spotify or iTunes, and you can always find everything at thegamenashville.com. So we will put that stuff up for you. So speaking of racing at the fairgrounds, so this is what is going down. Mayor Cooper signed a letter of intent with Bristol Motor Speedway, SMI, Speedway Motorsports, and basically it's got to go through the fair board. It's got to go through the council. They have to approve it all. But I feel like it's inching closer and closer to becoming a reality. Metro would issue no more than $50 million in bonds for racetrack renovations, as already specified in the capital improvements budget. Under a lease management agreement, BMS, Bristol, would pay Metro an annual lease payment for track management and operations and share a percentage of revenue from events. Additionally, for 4 weeks a year, BMS would lease all of the fairgrounds property except for MLS, stadium, and commercial developments for $1 million annually to host a major racing event. So that right there would be the Cup weekend. There's a lot more of details of this. They would modernize it, get it up to NASCAR standards. They would put things to help with noise around the neighborhoods. They would alert people of when racing events were going to happen. This is very, very, very good for Nashville to have this facility ready to go. Now you have the 1.3-mile track, concrete track, out in Gladeville. With the Nashville Super Speedway, you'll have the street course for IndyCar. You'll have the short track as well. Racing is going to be huge in this city, and you all deserve it because there are a lot of race fans in Nashville. Now, back in October, before championship weekend, I actually spoke with NASCAR Senior Vice President Steve O'Donnell when the Super Speedway announcement had already happened. And there were still rumblings about the fairgrounds and that it could happen. And I point blank asked him, could you see a scenario where there are two Cup race weekends in our city at two different racetracks?
Yeah, I would never rule that out. Just, I think that's something that, you know, there's a long way to go with the fairgrounds. And obviously you're familiar with the sport. Yep. In terms of the facility and where it would need to be. And I think we've got a facility that's race ready and ready to go. And you know, our priority right now is to get that right and do that right and commit that we're going to do that for the long term. And if there's something that we believe we could do at the fairgrounds that would enhance the existing race that we have and enhance kind of the overall sport for both, we would absolutely take a look at that.
There you go, Steve O'Donnell. And I believe that that's what it would be. They would find maybe starting out you would have – you would have the smaller series go to the fairgrounds, but I believe to do it right, you just need to find a weekend and have everything, have trucks, have Xfinity, have Cup, and have them be out at the fairgrounds in addition to the Super Speedway, do two race weekends, and DW reference IRP, Indianapolis Raceway Park, half mile, cool little track in Indianapolis, and although the Cup series, I don't believe ever raced there. They had the trucks and they had Xfinity there, and then they had the big boys out at the Indy Motor Speedway. But this would be if you had Cup Series at both tracks, and fans are just clamoring for more short tracks and more diversity on the schedule, and they've started that this year with all the road courses. But I think it would be really, really cool. I also, in October, talked to Dale Earnhardt Jr., who I mentioned has been a big part of this, pushing this, and this is what he had to say about racing in Nashville.
Yeah, I would just love to see one of our top three series go compete at the fairgrounds, and man, it would be amazing to watch a Cup race compete there again. But I know that Marcus Smith and his dad have been working really, really hard to try to keep that idea alive. And I think, honestly, the track's in a better place today because of those efforts, even if it hasn't happened yet. And I just feel like that, you know, I'm not willing to give up on that becoming a reality. I just am. I'm just not. So, you know, we're going to the ferry. We're going to the concrete track out there down the highway. And so while I wasn't very excited about that initially, because it meant that we weren't going to the fairgrounds, I do believe that it's good and important for us as a sport to be racing in the town where we're going to celebrate our champions. So if we can't be at the fairgrounds, the big concrete track out there down the road will have to do for a while. But I just really hope that we don't give up on the idea of going to the fairgrounds at some point, keeping that dream alive and hoping to see it become a reality one day.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. on racing at the fairgrounds. And I think it's going to be good both ways because you have two different styles of racetrack with Gladeville, with the Super Speedway, and with the fairgrounds. Going to be awesome for our city to have both of those. And then the Grand Prix, and I mentioned Tony Stewart's SRX. They're going to race out at the fairgrounds this summer as well. So if you're a racing fan, and the banquet, being here, this is becoming a hub. DW said it, like, it's becoming a hub for racing, and I think that is really, really cool. So again, the Ally 400 in June, the SRX race at the fairgrounds in July, and the Music City Grand Prix in August, all coming to our city. Now, as we move at a fast pace here, Vegas this weekend, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube, and I talked to Joey Logano earlier this week on Darren Donick and Chase. He joined the show, and again, if you missed that, you can go to thegamenashville.com. We'll also put it with our podcast for this show as well. He's very good at Las Vegas, and coming off a 25th place finish at Homestead, I expect big things out of Joey Logano. I actually saw him win at Las Vegas 2 years ago when I was out there. He's won the spring race. He's going for three in a row to win the spring race. I asked Joey Logano what makes it so easy for him at Las Vegas.
There's just some racetracks that you naturally, you know, just take a hold of easier than others, right? It fits more of your driving style. I think that on top of, you know, it seems like a racetrack that Team Penske runs good at in general, so they have good setups as well. So, you know, the full package has kind of, you know, been there for us the last couple of years. And it's worked out really well because when Pennzoil sponsors the race and the Pennzoil is also on your car and in your car, it's nice to be able to be blowing donuts through the grass in their logo after the race when you do a little victory celebration. So that's the goal to do again. They seem to like that a lot.
And you heard me, and I gave him props for that nice plug too, because that was a good one. I think that he's going to be one to watch. And that, as we move fast, leads us into Sunday Money. Moving fast and furious here today on Chasing Checkers. Joey Logano is definitely one to watch. Of my three, and then the long shot, I have Kevin Harvick, who is plus 650. Joey Logano, also plus 650. These odds from BetMGM, Denny Hamlin at plus 900, and the long shot to watch. And I was very close last week because Tyler Reddick finished second. Plus 5,000 on this one, Austin Dillon in the three car, Tyler Reddick's teammate with Richard Childress Racing. The favorite at plus 600 is Martin Truex Jr. And tracks like this are tough because you have so many of these guys that are good on the intermediate tracks, which is what this mile and a half. It's a fast speedway. I mean, I can remember sitting on Kevin Harvick's pit box 2 years ago when I went out there with my friend Ricky and the Hunt Brothers people, watching just how fast that they really were getting around this track. And so Joey Logano dominated. Brad Keselowski has won out there. So you can't really go wrong there. So this was a tough one to pick three, to pick just three, because racing is, you know, hard to bet on because you only win once unless you take the, you know, top five, top three, something like that. And so I try and give you some options. But I do like Logano, and I like Harvick. Harvick has been hanging around, and we're about to the point where we're going to sit there and we're going to go, well, where did he come from? Which is what we always say about Kevin Harvick. The first time winners, I don't have one in there this week. I think that's not going to happen. But different winners for this year, I do believe that we're going to start the season with four different winners. And the way that things have shook out with the different types of races that are on the schedule this year, I think you're going to see a lot of different winners. And I think that's good for the sport. You know, you had Kevin Harvick win 9 last year, which is fine. That something like that could still happen, but I think having having different winners is going to make it even better. So there you go. That's the Sunday money. We'll tweet that out. Follow us on Twitter @Chasen_Checkers, @Chasen_Checkers. You can also get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers. That's going to do it for this week. We'll join you next week. Enjoy the racing from Vegas. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.